More than 30 million Americans have been diagnosed with diabetes, according to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And many of those patients rely on insulin to control the disease. But insulin has to be refrigerated, and once opened, is only good for a short time. So our next guest is trying to change that. Garrick Lindberg is an assistant professor of physical chemistry at NAU. He spoke with our co-host, Mark Brody.
It sounds as though, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it sounds as though you are trying to find a way to change the makeup of insulin to make it last longer, and especially once it's open, right? I mean, is that a sort of a smaller version of what you're doing?
Yep, that's absolutely right. So insulin is insulin. It is a small protein that is crucial for the body dealing with blood sugar levels. What we are interested in doing is looking at the way that this insulin protein is actually stored and preserved when we think about transporting it to a patient that might need to use it. Currently, there is a proprietary way that insulin is stored, and the logistics of that mean that insulin has to be stored at a very tight temperature range in order to stay bioactive. So it has to stay between 2 and 8 degrees Celsius, and it also has a limited shelf life. So it'll last a few months if you don't open it. Once you open it, you really have to use it. A patient really has to use it pretty quickly.
So how do you try to change that? What about the protein can be manipulated maybe to make it so that it either doesn't have to be at that very specific temperature range or can last longer?
Yeah, so we're interested in taking kind of a totally new line of attack at this problem. And so there's a class of materials that have become popular in the last, they've really gained a lot of attention in the last decade or so, but they've been around for a few decades. These materials are called ionic liquids. And so ionic liquids are salts, just like regular table salt that we encounter every day, but they're made up of slightly different ions that cause them to behave a little bit differently. And so the key difference here is that they remain liquids at much lower temperatures than table salt. What's special about these is that they're so large that you can really manipulate what make up the ions and have them have very specific properties that allow you to do very specific things. And so in this case, what we're interested in doing is making insulin stay in the right shape in order to be bioactive. So scientists call this idea of protein shape folding. So we want it to stay folded the correct way. And then we also want to keep different insulin molecules from clumping together, because once they start clumping together, they're no longer bioactive and they won't do what we want them to do in the body.
How challenging is it to make it so that the folding happens and that you can keep the insulin at more of a room temperature kind of level and maybe have it last longer while also continuing to have the insulin do what it needs to do inside the body?
Yeah. So we are about a year into this study. It turns out that keeping insulin in the correct shape is not that difficult. What ends up being a little bit more difficult, though, is keeping it from clumping together. And so what we've been doing is looking for these salts that like to stick to the surface of insulin, so they block it from sticking to other insulin molecules, but they don't stick on too strong so that they can't come off when we eventually want to put it into the body.
That sounds like a very fine line you're trying to walk.
Absolutely. And so it is an interesting kind of fundamental physics question of just how do you get that careful balance so that the teeter-totter is kind of sitting in the middle and it doesn't tip over in the wrong direction.
Could this type of technique have implications for other medications besides just insulin?
It absolutely could. So we chose insulin because diabetes is so prevalent and it could have dramatic effects on the larger healthcare industry, and it could really help a lot of people that are struggling to deal with daily healthcare costs. But if you think about a lot of the medicines that we encounter, a lot of the healthcare technologies that we encounter, a lot of them need to be refrigerated or at least have very tight temperature controls associated with them. And so you can imagine any one of those taking this line of attack, designing an ionic liquid or a special liquid environment that is targeted for that material, and then improving the storage technology, the storage strategies around it. So one other idea that we've been developing related to this is looking at the storage of medicines that we think about launching into space. And so you can imagine astronauts encounter all of the same sorts of health concerns that we have down on Earth. But if you think about long-term space missions, not only could they potentially have an infection or something like that, but they're not going to be able to go to the pharmacy. So we need to be able to store medicines for much longer periods of time than typically medicines are designed for on Earth. And so we're looking at using these same sorts of strategies to design medicines to use in those environments.
It seems as though if you are able to do either or both of the things you're trying to do here, I would imagine that would have a fairly significant impact on the healthcare system overall, and especially patients who are treating diabetes, especially those who are reliant on insulin.
Absolutely. So if you look at the way that money is spent on healthcare in the United States right now, about $1 in $7 goes towards medical care associated with diabetes. And so if we can make it so that the medicines we produce last a little bit longer, that is going to make it a little bit cheaper to treat diabetes. And then the other part of this is that as we produce insulin, there's this idea of the cold chain. So we produce it and has to stay at the correct temperature to be active. And then as we transport it and store it, and then as the patient takes it home and uses it, it has to remain in this tight temperature window in order to be viable. And if we can relax that window just a little bit, we make it cheaper to transport it, but we also make it easier for the patient to deal with how they are actually going to use their medicine.
And when you talk about transporting insulin, I'm thinking especially that this would be helpful for folks in rural areas, maybe especially like up in your neck of the woods on Indian reservations, places that probably don't have a whole ton of pharmacies and aren't super close to major metro areas.
Yes. So Navajo Nation, 32% of the homes lack electricity. And then on top of that, electricity is just less reliable. So if we can make it so that the patients who are using these medicines are not so constrained by not having a refrigerator in order to keep their medicines viable, it's going to have a dramatic effect on the way that they are able to take their medicines.
All right. That's Garrick Lindberg, an assistant professor of physical chemistry at Northern Arizona University. Garrick, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.